there is a reasonable reason. I started to say excuse, but it's not. God doesn't have any excuses. God knows what we need. And so it's very important that we understand that. And it doesn't matter if a person has been preaching 30 years, or if they've been preaching 50 years, or like me, 65. I've started my 65th year of trying to preach. And if there's one thing I know, it's that I don't know everything. I'm sure that you're shocked at that. Shirley's not. But I want to talk to you a little bit about this in a few minutes, and I'd like to address the plurality this morning of the eldership and the age and a few other things that I just would like to address. And then if you have a question, I'll try to answer your question with the understanding that I'm answering your question to the best of my ability. But first, let's ask, are there others we need to mention? We have those who have returned to us from being sick, and we're glad they're here. We missed you, and we're glad you're here. Are there others we need to? Okay. Okay.
But it's worth anything, and I think it is. I told him I loved him, and my church was praying for him. He'll be revived to be my friend.
Great. Great. And I know that you and I, we've probably been preaching 30 years. You and I know that people do respond, and the simplest of blessings to be given to people is very, very significant. And don't forget that. And sometimes all we can do is pray. But we can always pray, and God always hears. I used to say a lot, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait a little while. But God always hears, and God answers. And one of the things I'd like for you to pray earnestly about, I am at a loss. We've had our house on the market now for a considerable amount of time. There's no way that we don't believe that God knows exactly what's going on. I keep looking for a letter on my pillow when I get up in the morning from God. But, you know, He hasn't seen fit to send one yet. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'd really like to know what God would like for us to do. And it appears to us that we need to get this house sold, and then try to get in a situation where we can live more frugally and surely won't have to work so hard.
Hey, we sold our apartment house.
I know you did.
The first of December, we bought it 53 years in October. We got it sold now.
We haven't owned ours quite that long, but we're glad you did. Thank God that you were able to do that.
And today is our oldest granddaughter's birthday. Brooke Nichols is 30 24, we'll have her birthday party out at Centerview, her one of our oldest daughters, her birthday after church, we'll go out there that.
Okay, good. I've forgotten how old Methuselah is, but he's one of our kids. Just kidding. I saw another hand.
Apparently, I was just wondering if somebody was praying for you and Shirley to have faith.
They need to.
Well, I'm saying, we don't do that anymore. Do you think God puts you in a situation where you have to
right.
build your patience? Well, I wonder if someone lovingly prayed that for you all, not realizing the result.
Stop it! Well, I know that in time this will take place, but we just don't know exactly when. And all we want to do is to be able to serve God. Both of us are wrestling with physical ailments, so please keep that in your prayers. We have doctor's appointments this week, and other than going blind, and our heart not beating right, and some few other things like that, we're doing good. So we're grateful to be alive. We're grateful to be able to serve God. So just keep us in your prayers. And you're always in ours. You know that. Anybody else? Could I bore you just a tiny bit here? And then if you have questions, we'll answer them. I kind of ran through the list. I have worked with 10 elderships in 64 years. I have worked with some of the best. And I have worked with some of the worst. And that's why it's so important that we examine, that we explore, and that we get the Church of our Lord here set up to the point that it can operate like it should. And I'd love to tell you a whole bunch of stories that'll be interesting. But I'm not going to do that, not this morning. But I have worked with elderships from 2 to 15. Now that's something. I know Jeff's been there with that. Where you have 15 people who are serving as elders. One of them's name was Shirley. But it was a man. Okay. He had red hair. But it does not matter the number. It matters the quality that you're dealing with people. I wanted to talk a little bit, I'll come back maybe a little to this, but I want to talk a little bit about the plurality. To recognize the blessing of plurality. And especially more than two. Now I've worked with, three elderships where there were just two elders. And they worked real well. No real problem. But usually things work better if you have at least three men. And of course, I've read books and listened to lectures about the eldership where men said you have to have at least three. The scriptures do not require that. But more than three, many times work a lot better. Let me tell you, this group of men, this was in Michigan, and it was back in the ancient of times when we lived in Michigan, and were sponsored by the Zimmerman Street Church of Christ in Flint, Michigan. The preacher was a good friend of ours, one of the preachers. They had two preachers, and they had 15 elders. I've forgotten how many deacons they had. And I went to them for advice, where we were working to try to get a work started in Owosso, Michigan. And they, to the person, gave me advice. I was 22 years old. And I knew what they were advising me to do was not good. Now, I asked if at least one of them, or maybe one of the preachers, would go with me, because this was a serious problem. It got a lot worse before it got better. And they, to the person, gave me the advice about what to do. And I just knew that it was wrong. It was. And it was about 10 years before it ever got straightened out. So what I'm telling you is that it doesn't matter how many people you have, you can still get the wrong advice. Good people can give bad advice. You don't ever need to leave what the scriptures say. You need to be able to continue to do whatever God tells you to do. Now, I'm sure it's not of interest to you, but I have preached in 26, maybe more, but at least 26 states that I counted up. I've spent anywhere, the shortest period of time that I spent with the church was 10.5 months. And you don't want me to tell you the story. But God did some wonderful things with it. I said over and over again that it was my greatest mistake, because the people lied to me. The leaders lied to me. They told me things that were not true. And I finally just left after 10.5 months. And when I was by there one time and talking about that, one of the young men that I baptized when he was 14 years old said, "Herman, I'm still teaching the same thing that you taught me. Don't ever say that your work here was a failure." And that's what we need to remember. If we are doing our best to serve God, we are not a failure. But what we need to do is to make sure that we have everything together that God wants us to have together. To have the men who can serve God as He wants them served. I've got one or two notes written down here. Probably some of them aren't all that important. I've got one or two other bits of advice that I want to give you, so. I don't know about Jeff, but I've talked one elder out of retiring. Quit. Actually, he wasn't going to retire. He was going to quit. He was going to give up. I don't know what I would do if I had that to do again today. But it didn't work out. The man continued to serve, but not well. And I'm not sure whether I should have let him talk himself out of serving as an elder or not. So that's a very difficult thing. And somebody said, well, you can't resign as an elder. Yes, you can. You quit. People do. Some people don't even announce it. They just don't serve anymore. But it's noble and it's wonderful to do. And it's something that our local preacher really needs. I know that. And I have served in a capacity that I did not wish to serve. Basically as a pastor. I had to take care of everything. I left a congregation that Shirley and I had the privilege of beginning and boosting it to above 100. And I told the elders who were supporting us, I said, I cannot get these men to do anything. If they do anything, they want to talk to me first. And of course, you know, I end up one way or another giving them advice. So, what they needed to do was stand on their own. Well, they tried to do that. 10 years later, and 3 preachers later, we had to go back and rebuild the congregation. So, well, what does that say about you? Well, I don't really want to know. But it wasn't what we wanted. But it takes a lot of work to build a church. And if it's not done right, I mean, the stories that I could tell you, I mean, did you ever know of a congregation of over 600 people that one person ran it? Not the preacher, but a man who called himself an elder. And he did that until he died. And then, it's very interesting if you should ever run into a congregation that was controlled by a woman. That is very interesting. Not very comfortable, but, you know. So it's all out there. And what we have here is the opportunity to set up what God wants so we can do what God would have us to do. And there's no way that any of us who have had how much ever experience can say, we know how to do it. As long as we're dealing with people, we're dealing with possibilities Okay. I've been talking a lot. God hasn't shut me down yet, but maybe you won't ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. I was in the Army National Guard. And many of the men, sergeant and up, served under George Patton. And they said over and over again, they'd jumped off, if he said jump off a bridge, they'd have jumped off a bridge. They would have followed him anywhere. I tried to figure out why they would do that. They would do that because they realized that he would go anywhere and do anything that needed to be done to get the job done. Let me go back and address what you're asking, Buckley. I believe that I have met and served under a number of men that people would follow anywhere because they believe that these men loved God enough to do anything that God required them to do. And I think that's what we see with people. I don't have any trouble identifying a men who are willing to serve. I know men right now who are willing to serve without serving as a quote elder. Because they think that they can serve God better. Because they think, well, maybe I don't fully qualify in this area or this area. Men who will evoke a following that is so strong until people will follow them anywhere are men who are willing to serve God at any cost. And I think that's how we identify them. I don't have any trouble identifying leaders. I don't have any trouble identifying people who have no business being leaders. Do you? I mean, we watch people. We see what they do. We look at their lives and we can tell whether that's what they do best or not. So the role and function of elders is extremely important for us to be able to watch them to see what they do. Now let's flip it back here. We have these scriptures starting with 1 Peter 5 and verses 1 through 5. We can go back to where Paul goes to or calls the elders of Ephesus to meet him. And he tells them what to do. So then we can see who does what needs to be done if they do what God tells them to do. I think I'd like to emphasize for just a moment the text. What does God say? I mean, that's really important. Like this preacher. I've been preaching 30 years, and I'm convinced that a man doesn't have to be married to serve as an elder. Well, that's true, but not biblically. I mean, just because you think that they can do that. Now, he told some other people what he thought about that. I didn't even want to hear it. Because what I'm listening to is God. And God said, this is what I require. And so that's what we need. If we're not going to do what God says, it doesn't matter. I remember being in high school and finding out in my naivety that a woman that I knew was an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And I thought, how can that be? Because I knew what the Scriptures talk about for a person to qualify as a leader. But since then, of course, I've met numerous people who claim to be God's leaders. Just because God requires men to do it doesn't mean that women can't. And I hear people say, well, women can preach. And I say, sure, I've heard them. Sometimes as a captive audience. But I want to extrapolate more. David.
Herman, I think going back to Buckley's question, I think there's at least two parts to the answer of what does the shepherd look like.
Great.
I think the first part is they all look like that they should reflect in Jesus.
Okay.
God's life. That's the Lord's hand you trust. So that way they're going to be the same. I think the second part is going to be different depending on what gets God to do.
Okay.
You know, I think in our, the shepherd we had in Virginia, of the four of us, I was the one who was going to get up and preach. And he came from a big group.
Okay.
And two others that were really good at teaching in small groups. The other was really good one on one.
Okay.
We all teach, but where were the strengths? Where were the gifts? You know, we divided up what we did and how we did it based on who was good at what. You know, how did God.
And that's where the plurality.
Right.
So shows. Right. And God, you know, God knows. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the building up of the church. And everybody worked in the capacity that they have the talent to work in. It's very, very important. And you have probably known people who are gifted to the maximum. I mean, it's just unbelievable how they can work with people. I mentioned here a while back a man, his name was Herman Wheat. And he was Herman and Herman and Herman. But this man's name was Herman Wheat. He did not have extensive training. But he loved people, and people loved him. This goes to the question that Buckley asked. When that man stood up to speak, people listened. They listened to what he had to say. And he could get things done that actually, the two other men who served with him had the tendency to make people mad when they got up because they tried to boss people. Herman never sounded like he was bossing people. think in one occasion that we had, it's pretty bad. And in about 5 or 6 minutes, he had nearly everybody, including me, crying. I was the preacher. And my toe was on the line. I did some things I shouldn't have done. The only time I ever did that, of course. But he was patient and he was kind. And another thing about him, and I think this is important, Bucky, for you and for the rest of us, I had some of the fiercest arguments with him. And we could argue and argue, I mean, with scripture. And say, no, this is what it said. He said, no, this is what it said. And we might do that for now. When we were finished, we were finished. He would never say, you were wrong. Just give it up. Forget it. We continue to discuss the things that need to be discussed. And a church is fluid that way, in that the things that happen within that congregation flow and ebb. So it's very, very important. Well, I'm sure you can believe it, but I can't believe it. I've talked this whole time. I'm sure that you have prayed and prayed. I thank God that I was able to get through with this. I've got one more little segment, and I'll try to have somebody to back me up so that if I start sounding like a jibber jabber, that someone can translate it into the real language. You do not part. Yes. Yes. Right. And then somebody can interpret it, sir. I don't know if you know that or not, but that is the most frustrating thing that I have ever encountered. And I have thanked God for getting me through. I still believe that I have some ability to help. I love this congregation. I love each of you. And I love all of you. And I am willing to do whatever I can to help us to be what we need to be. Is there anything else that we need to announce before we... thank you. I have not been fully briefed, but I think all of you realize I'm not done. I would like to be able to talk about one or two more things. I would like to address any question that you have between now and then to talk about it. The more thorough that we can cover this subject from every angle, the more likely we are to have success in doing this. And I know time is up, but I've prayed a lot about this. And I would like to be of whatever help that I could. like to encourage the church here. And if I can be of help, then I will. I'll be prepared next week. I'll find out, Tom. Thank you. Anything else before we close? Let's pray. Father, you've been so